To know God is to love God. To love God is to obey Him. To obey Him is to abide in Him. To abide in Him is to bring forth fruit. I want you to go with me now to Genesis chapter 12, and we'll see one of the recorded places where Abraham obeyed. Genesis chapter 12. And look at verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. He had lived there all his life. And at 75, 4 years older than me, God said, it's time to move. And I always put it in perspective when, if that was me and I was 75 and say, Lord told us to move, I guarantee you Tina would say, He didn't tell me to move. We're 75. Sarah would have been 65 at that time. But that's just putting it in human terms. And Abram took Sarah, his wife, not his happy wife at that time, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and unto the land of Canaan they came. He obeyed God. God said, I want you to leave at 75. He packs up, had a great garage sale, and he leaves. And Abraham passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, and unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east side of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. There's three levels of obedience that we generally pass through in our life. The first level is I must obey, because if I don't, God will get me. God will hammer. I've got to obey because I fear God's judgment. The second level is I need to obey. I need to be a good testimony to those around me. I need to be a good testimony to my family, to my kids. And the third level, of course, is I love to obey because it pleases my Heavenly Father. There was a preacher boy standing outside a movie house, and he was looking at the coming attractions and all the other things that's outside the doors going into a movie house. And a fellow in the community passed by that knew him, and he said, are you going to go in and see a movie? And the young man said, no, I'm not. And the gentleman said, oh, I get it. You're not going to do it because you're afraid your dad will hurt you. And the young man said this, no, I'm afraid I would hurt my dad. Okay? Obedience. Now go with me to Genesis chapter 21, another place where Abraham obeyed. We're going to pick up the story in verse 9. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. He loved that boy. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah has said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder. And the child, seems like it was just a little boy. And sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lift up her voice, and she wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. Oh, boy. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise and lift up the lad and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. The point, of course, is Abraham obeyed. He loved that little boy, but he loved God more. Second of all, the reason why he is called the friend of God is because he tithed. Go with me to Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14. If you haven't already fallen in love with Genesis, I hope that this will be the year where you will see all the great doctrines in the Bible have their beginnings in the book of Genesis. All the great doctrines. So Genesis chapter 14, let's begin reading in verse 17. The king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheva, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich. save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me, Aner and Eshcol and Mamre. Let them take their portion. I want to give you three thoughts about money, because if these three thoughts will be inculcated into your life, you will have no difficulty at all with tithing and with giving back to the Lord. Ray said something to me the other day, and it was told us by Rick Blue when we were trying to raise enough money to build this building. Rick Blue said, if you will get behind this faith-raising campaign, said your church will never be in need of money again. And to this point, God has been so good to this church simply because the people in this church got behind that and gave sacrificially so we could meet in a building like this. So let me give you three thoughts about money. First of all, you've got to be very cautious against the love of riches. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And let's begin reading in verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what we're reading here, you either believe this or you don't. And if you believe this, it can absolutely change your life so that the rest of your life you will be spent thanking God for his wonderful goodness and grace to us. Having food and raiment, let us be there with content. But they that will be rich, those people that say, more than anything in this world, I want to be rich. Okay? But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Let me just ask you something. I don't know about Jeff Bezos, if he's saved or if he's lost. Would you trade places with Jeff Bezos, the richest man in the world, if he is lost? Would you do that? This is what it's talking about here. And into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You better be careful about the love of money. Second of all, you got to be careful to do your giving in the right manner. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And look at verse 1. The Bible says, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. It's talking about giving back to God here. All righty? Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, when you give your money, don't sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not your left hand know what your right hand doeth. Give it and forget it is what that's saying. Right? that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Give for the right reasons, not to be seen of men, not to have men say, oh my goodness. And then last, make giving our primary objective in obtaining wealth. The reason a Christian would want to obtain wealth has nothing to do with things and getting more and more things. It all has to do with giving back to God. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, and look at verse 38. The Bible says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. You give so that you can continue to give more and more and more. And then the third reason why Abraham was called the friend of God is because he gave God his best. Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. And if you can read this without crying. Let me know how. Verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt, or you understand it better, did test Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, oh boy, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. He knew exactly what a burnt offering was. You take the offering, you cut its throat, you drain some blood, and then you put it on an altar of wood, and you completely burn that altar. That's what God's asking of Abraham. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. There's no fussing. There's no arguing. He just did exactly what God told him to do. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Well, you talk about a bittersweet moment. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac said unto Abraham his father, and said, my father? And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering, speaking of the cross. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his boy. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said in this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Abraham was called the friend of God, and the reason why he was called that should be important to each one of us. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for Abraham. Goodness. That which you asked of him was a great deal, and he responded in a wonderful way. Father, please help us. When you ask something of us, something so very dear to our heart, that we would respond in a similar way, that we would simply be obedient, do what you want us to do, and then trust you with the results. Father, we love you. We love the cross. We love the church where we come and your word is spoken and it's read and it's preached. We thank you for it in Jesus' name.